Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Gerald Celente. Gerald is the author of Trends 2000, How to Prepare for and Profit from the Changes of the 21st Century. He's also the editor and publisher of an outstanding quarterly newsletter called the Trends Journal. Gerald, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Jim.
It's always a pleasure to have you with us. And I continue to go back to your book, Trends 2000, and pick out stuff that is just that amazes me, some of the stuff that you forecasted. And I want to talk about some of that in just a little bit. But I'll tell you what, let me go ahead and get into some of this a little bit. One of the things that you predicted, so to speak, and I'm going to read a little bit of this. This is way on back in his book, folks. Some of the things that you actually forecasted to happen over in the Balkans are actually coming true. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, on page 3 of the book, you know, we open it up and you're in the year 2000 and you're looking back. And, of course, this was written a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We said that there'd be saber rattling in Germany as the war in the Balkans spread over its borders. And it's happening. You know, already Germany is bombing Belgrade, and they have tank units around Montenegro and other areas. And also, what the public doesn't understand is that although the United States, and we wrote about this pretty extensively, talks about its neutrality, you know, we showed that they were really taking sides and providing armaments and equipment and intelligence to one side and alienating another. And another point that's forgotten is that over 200,000 Serbs were pushed out of their country, which they had lived in for over three centuries. And as this whole war evolves and we keep talking about it, there's going to be something called retaliation. Anytime one country gets involved in a foreign country's problems, the side they take is fine, but they've made an enemy on the other side. That enemy is going to strike back.
Mm-hmm.
And as we forecast is there's going to be, they'll call it terrorism, but it's really just getting even.
Yeah. Well, I really am concerned about what's happening over there. As my audience knows, I've been commenting on that, but primarily from the standpoint of keeping our young men and women who are in harm's way over there from all countries in our thoughts and prayers and hoping and praying that the politicians do the right thing, but I'm afraid that they may have already done the wrong thing.
Well, this, you know, it's amazing. I was listening to one of the talk shows last night, and I heard former Secretary of George Shultz saying that, you know, we're in war, and when you're in war, you're going on and on. And I thought to myself, well, if we're in war, how come it's not being stated that we're in war?
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. Gerald, once upon a time, I called you a futurist, and you corrected me very quickly and told me that you were not a futurist, you were a trends tracker.
That's right. What futurists do is they look beyond the present and they make predictions, like things like back in the 1960s, they said that because of advances in technology, which they accurately looked at,
mm-hmm.
you know, it would make life a lot easier for us and we'd have more leisure time and we'd know what to do with. But what they don't do is they don't look at many different fields simultaneously. They usually only focus on one. And with trend trackers, what we're concerned about are the events of today and how they're going to affect our immediate lives tomorrow. So that's really the difference. And we look at many different fields simultaneously. So as we talk, for instance, about the war in the Balkans, we're also watching healthcare trends, consumer trends, business trends, environmental trends, and on and on.
What do you think one of the lead articles in your Trends Journal, I guess maybe the lead article, is something you call the third millennium, the new age. Tell us about the third millennium.
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, does this new millennium really mean anything? Is it just a calendar date, you know, a fad, a marketing tool, or, you know, is it just a lot of hot air from people that think the world is going to go up in smoke and down in flames? And as we look at the new millennium, we've come to the realization that this is a very important turning point in history, and that this next 2,000 years ahead of us will show very little resemblance to the past 2,000 years. and that the ties that bind us to the old world, for instance, are going to be forever broken. I'll give you an example. You could have gone to any developed country, I mean, even as late as World War II, and seen in the agrarian societies links back to the past. Well, you know, even when you looked at inventions such as the printing press, you could have seen that there would be newspapers. When the first Model T rolled off the assembly line, you could have forecast traffic jams. But what's ahead of us now, Jim, is exponential change that is foreseeably unforeseeable. For instance, look at genetic engineering, cloning, stem cell manipulation, virtual reality, the whole computer revolution. You know, whether or not you agree or disagree with any of those technological or scientific advances, the fact is they're happening and they're unstoppable. And that we're really moving into an era of unprecedented change.
Well, if you think about it, and this is something that I have thought about. If my grandmother died within the last couple of 3 years at almost 100 years old, and I thought about what she saw in her life. She told me stories about taking, when she was a child, taking all day to just to drive into town on a wagon back at, you know, at the turn of the century. And you know, she lived to see some of the things that you're talking about right now. And her grandmother, who maybe if she had lived in the 19th century, the beginning of her life to the end of her life wouldn't have been that much different.
That's right. And you make a good point. For instance, from Julius Caesar to Grover Cleveland, the world's leaders were either inaugurated or coronated and driven to their place by horse-drawn vehicles.
Yep. Not anymore. All right, stand by, Gerald. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Gerald Celente is our special guest and our good friend. He's the author of Trends 2000. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join us, if you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make to me and our special guest, our good friend Gerald Celente, the author of Trends 2000, just give us a call, 888-822-8255. Gerald, tell our audience where they can get your book, Trends 2000, and how they can order your newsletter, The Trends Journal.
Well, Trends 2000 is available in bookstores everywhere, and of course from the internet bookstores. And our website is trends, T-R-E-N-D-S, research.com, or one word, Trends Research. Mm-hmm. And our toll-free number is 1-800-25-TREND.
Okay, thank you. Now, you've got several things that you talk about in your most recent journal that you see coming down the pike. What are some of the main things that you'd like to talk to us about today as far as some of the trends that are going to be happening in our lives?
Well, you know, one of the important things to really understand, Jim, is that change is happening very rapidly, and that to stay ahead in this climate, you have to look ahead. You know, I hear it from business people all the time. They tell me, you know, what was normal before isn't normal anymore, and it's sure true. And, you know, when I began to write Trends 2000, for instance, in 1995, the word internet and web was hardly used.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't all over the place.
And that was 4 years ago.
Yeah. You know this thing called distance learning.
Mm-hmm.
There were a handful of universities and colleges just 4 years ago.
You never heard the word virtual marketplace?
No. E-commerce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now, you know, look at all the capitalization that's been going on in that particular aspect of the marketplace.
Exactly.
Just in the last 3 or 4 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So with the listeners, the business people, the entrepreneurs, what they really have to understand is that there are thousands of opportunities developing every year that they can capitalize on. And you know what? They have a better opportunity to do it than the big businesses.
Yes.
And here's why, and I'm sure you know why. That, you know, these big businesses are like super tankers. It takes a long time to stop them and a long time to turn them around. It
takes a whole ocean just to turn them around.
That's right.
Yeah.
And a small entrepreneur is like a jet ski. And they can move and maneuver very quickly. They can seize the opportunities. They don't have the bureaucratic morass to break through.
Mm-hmm.
So what this Trends Journal is really about, this issue, it's probably more philosophical than any of our previous issues, is to really draw on the changes taking place, what's going on socially, economically, and politically, how to see the changes, and how to capitalize on them.
If you were advising a person right now, let's say there's someone, well, I was thinking of you know, if you remember the movie The Graduate, somebody came up to Dustin Hoffman's character and said one word, plastics. You know, that was what 30 something years ago. What would you say if someone was graduating? If you were talking to someone who just graduated from college, what would be the one word you would say to them right now?
Health.
Health?
Health. You know, the internet's great, and you know that, of course, that's going to continue to grow and on and on. You know, the technology revolution is going to be a major part of society and continue to gain a greater share. But you know, with all this change taking place, you know, we're still humans,
mm-hmm.
and we're an aging population. And not only are we an aging population, as a whole, we're in pretty bad shape. When you look at the statistics that show, you know, obesity rates being about a third of the population, 71% are overweight, about 56% are sedentary. The nation, as it ages, is going to be faced with a host of chronic degenerative diseases. Any product or service having to do with health, fitness, and nutrition are going to be the real money generators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we all know it. We've all seen it in our lives. You get stricken with an ailment, and you'll do anything that you can to get cured. And what we're looking at is a revolution in health, fitness, and nutrition, but not only in terms of physical, but spiritual and emotional as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's where we're looking at. And one of the trends that we'd like to talk about that entrepreneurs could see a great opportunity in is clean foods.
Yeah, you mentioned that in your newsletter. I'm going to get you to talk about that when we come back. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. Gerald, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Our friend Gerald Celente is our special guest. He is the author of Trends 2000. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. Thank you for staying with us today. Thank you for your business. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just remember the name of the show. Put the normal stuff on the front and the back. Gerald Celente is our special guest and our good friend. He's the author of Trends 2000. It's an outstanding book. It's a book about how to prepare for and profit from changes of the 21st century. I recommend it to you, as I have been doing since I first heard about it months and months ago. Gerald has been with us several times before. He's the editor and the publisher of the Trends Journal, which is an outstanding newsletter. And, Gerald, if someone wanted to order your newsletter, tell us how they would do that.
Well, they could call us at 1-800-25-TREND. That's 1-800-25-TREND. Or access our website, which is Trends Research, T-R-E-N-D-S, research.com, all one word.
All one word. Okay, thank you for that. And the book's available in bookstores as well as the online bookstores. Gerald, when we took the last break, I had asked you about what one word you would say to a college graduate to head them in the direction that you think they should be going in, and you said health. And then you started talking about food. And that is one of the issues that you mentioned as a trend alert in your most recent Trends Journal. What do you mean by that? What about food?
Well, just before I touch on food, and I did say health, I want to put that into perspective. The gross domestic product of the United States is what, about $8 trillion? About $1.5 trillion to $1.8 trillion of that is in health.
Mm-hmm.
Just to put that into perspective. That's a lot of money.
That is, right.
So,
is it about 17% or something,
yep,
like that?
Yep, that's right. So now what we're looking at when we say food, it's all related. You see, current events form future trends. Go back several weeks ago, we saw major product recalls coming from major name brand products like Oscar Mayer and mm-hmm. Sara Lee and a number of others around the country. This fear of listeria poisoning, over 20 people died.
There's been quite a bit of hamburger meat poisoning in the last few months.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So what happens is society keeps seeing these reports coming out, and they're real, and they're becoming more and more fearful about the food that they eat. So what we're saying is get ready for growth of organic produce to continue along the lines of its 20% growth that it's been experiencing over the past several years.
Organic produce.
But it's more than organic, Jim. It means clean food means it's not only organic, but it's brought to market and processed in the most sanitary conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happening also is that society, as I mentioned before, is aging. When we age, we step up our consumer patterns in terms of buying quality. Just like, you know, many of us folks spend $4.07 for a grande latte, we'll also spend more for a higher quality food product.
Mm-hmm.
So the trend toward clean food is going to continue to grow. There's going to be backlashes among different sectors of society regarding genetic engineering and hormones. And it's a great market opportunity that today is virtually untapped.
Isn't that, is there some tension right now between Europe and America over those issues, isn't there? With the exporting of meat and produce that are not where they use too many chemicals. I'm not sure exactly. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, one is genetically modified.
That's what I meant to say.
Right, and that's of the raw material and the processed food.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is hormone-fed livestock. They don't want that either.
The hormones enhance the growth pattern of the animal.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what we're looking at is there's not only going to be a backlash there, but Americans are looking for a higher quality product. For instance, one of the great entrepreneurial opportunities for anyone with a dream and a couple of dollars in their pocket is fast food, health food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, places you stop along the road, but you don't want to go to a McDonald's or a Burger King or Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Right.
And you want to go to somewhere else for a higher quality product.
Where do you find that now?
You don't.
Yeah, it's not out there, is it?
It's not out there.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, you know, a tofu hut. You know, you ever walk into some of these health food stores and you say, God, what are they cooking in here, you know? And you look at all these unhealthy-looking people. You know, I'm not talking about those places, but how about a place to get a free-range organic chicken sandwich?
Yeah.
Or a burger that comes from cattle that wasn't raised on a diet of chicken manure or fed a formula of drugs and hormones.
Right. You know, I grew up on the farm. And I remember, you know, out on the farm, in most farms, the chickens run wild. But we never called them free range. They were just our chickens.
They were just your chickens.
That was what was for dinner. We never knew we were eating so healthy when we were just eating chickens off the farm.
Then you know firsthand how different those chickens off the farm taste.
No
than these factory farm chicken.
Right, and fresh beef, fresh pork, and fresh vegetables, absolutely. Gerald, stand by. When we come back, folks, Gerald takes a swipe at the news media. We're going to get him to explain himself there. Gerald Celente, the author of Trends 2000 and the newsletter, The Trends Journal. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for listening today, for your time and your attention and your business. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Our special guest is our good friend Gerald Celente. He's the author of an outstanding book that I recommend to you folks. It's called Trends 2000, How to Prepare for and Profit from the Changes of the 21st Century. I also recommend that you check out the opportunity to order his newsletter, which is called The Trends Journal, and it's edited and published by Gerald, and it's just an outstanding, it's quarterly, isn't it, Gerald?
Yes, it is.
And I'm a subscriber, and I really look forward to it every time. Gerald, in your last journal, Trends Journal, you took a swipe at the news media.
Well, for a couple of reasons. One is, you know, with this millennium coming, we're accusing them of millennium malpractice. Everywhere you look, you know, they're talking, the newspapers have millennium sections and millennium specials and on and on and on, but they're only talking about the past. The future's off bounds. And you know, so they pretend to be looking ahead, but they're only looking behind. And then on another note, there was a recent study that came out from the Pew Charitable Trusts, and it shows that most of the people, the reporters themselves, are disillusioned with the direction that the news media is going, with mostly infotainment, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And the real hypocrisy here, Jim, is that you turn on the TV and you see all these pompous reporters and TV talkers,
talking heads,
yeah, babbling on as though they're experts, particularly now with this war going on, and, you know, forgetting that, you know, just for the last year and a half they've been talking about nothing but, you know, the Clinton Lewinsky scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're experts in foreign policy.
It's the same people.
The same people. Now they're experts in foreign policy and military strategies.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't even know where Kosovo was. And, you know, so what's happening is that the public, because it relies so much on the mass media, is really being led and swayed in a direction without a lot of information. For instance, I call this war right now a soundbite war.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, you hear words, genocide, ethnic cleansing, Holocaust, you know, Hitler. And you know, people just look at the images and hear soundbites,
mm-hmm.
and they form their opinions.
Well, and you're not making an observation about what's going on over there as much. You're talking about the reporting of it.
I'm talking about the reporting of it in terms that this is a very complex issue.
Yes.
This isn't black and white. But yet it has been easily cast as Serbs good, you know, Kosovo, Serbs bad, Kosovar's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, people know what's been going on in Albania since 1997. Do they really know the history and the background of what happened in 1981 when the Kosovars pushed out the Serbs? But there's a complicated situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's been distilled down to good and bad.
All right, let's change the subject for a second. Talk to us about Y2K. How many would you like to have a nickel for every time somebody said Y2K in the last 2 years?
Yeah, I would. You know, here's the thing. You know, we're saying don't run to the hill and get your pork and beans and shotgun in the anticipation of a Y2K crash, but also realize that there are going to be problems, but they'll be solved. And it's not, you know, in the scope of things, it's not going to be the worst thing that happened.
What's it going to look like the first week of the new millennium?
Well, we think, you know, there's going to be outages and there's going to be data processing problems.
Mm-hmm.
And there even may be some, telecommunication failures, satellite failures.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't be the worst. You know, on another note, being that, you know, your show is very dedicated, and rightfully so, to the entrepreneurs, you know, a lot of people can be disillusioned now because of the great mergers and acquisitions. You know, it's the killer whales out there eating the barracudas as these companies become larger and larger, and people feeling that, you know, their only option in life is to become a wage slave for a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true. And the analogy that I give, Jim, is if you look at these corporations as big boulders and stick these big boulders in a hole, and if they were in a hole, there's a lot of space between them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are the opportunities, as opposed to filling that same hole with little grains of sand.
Well, that's actually, to me, one of the most exciting parts about most exciting things about looking into the future. You know, I believe that, and I've been saying this for some time, that that working for a major corporation is primarily a 20th century invention. I think we're going to revert back to more and more entrepreneurialism, more and more pioneerism like we had in the last century and the century before that.
Well, exactly. And for the people that look ahead and see the opportunities, they'll be able to free themselves from working for the corporation.
Absolutely. That's the really exciting part. Got to take a quick break. Gerald, stand by. It's 50 after the hour, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go away. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend Gerald Celente. He's the author of an outstanding book, folks, that you need to have on your book, on your desk, and you need to be reading this. It's called Trends 2000, How to Prepare for and Profit from the Changes of the 21st Century. He's also the author and editor of an outstanding newsletter called the Trends Journal, which is a quarterly journal. I'm going to get him to tell us how you can get all those in just a second. But before I do, I want to remind you that Beverly Williams is going to be our next guest, and we're going to be talking to her about home-based business issues, including a real live home-based business person who will be on the show with her and me. Also, Doug Stives, our resident CPA, will be with us to give us some last-minute tax tips. And we're going to have somebody later in the week from the NFIB, and they're going to be talking to us about the project to abolish the IRS tax code, and I'll be talking about my involvement in all that, as well as Joan Pride with the Kiplinger Letters, and a lot more stuff coming up during the week. Stay with us. Gerald, tell us one more time how we can get your book, and please tell us how we can subscribe to your newsletter.
My book, Trends 2000, is available in bookstores everywhere and over the Internet from the bookstores, the online bookstores. And my newsletter, Trends 2000, and they can get that by hitting our website, which is Trends Research, T-R-E-N-D-S, research, or one word, .com, or calling us at 1-800-25-TREND. As a matter of fact, Jim, if anyone buys the book through us, and we only have the hardcover, the soft cover is available at the bookstores, they can also, if they buy it through us, they can get a free copy of our Trends Journal.
Okay. Thank you very much for that, Gerald. I appreciate that. Gerald, let's talk about the entrepreneurs a little bit as we wrap up the hour. Let's get back into that a little bit. And I'm really excited about the next century for entrepreneurs because I believe it is going to be the century of the entrepreneur, and there's so many opportunities out there. I love your example of the big guys are going to be boulders, and as entrepreneurs, we've got to learn how to fill in the cracks, fill in around them, and there's all kinds of wonderful opportunity around them, isn't there?
Oh, of course. And you know, when I mentioned that they're like big boulders with a lot of opportunity in between, also realize that because they're so big, it's unprofitable for them to get into smaller businesses.
That's right.
I mean, there are companies where, you know, an $80 million business is too small for them because of their scale and size.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot. There's a lot of opportunity. You know, one of the biggest trends, Jim, in the 21st century is going to be freedom. The people to live their own lives and work the jobs that they want to work without having being beholden to the boss. Without getting in that car every morning and schlepping off to work, getting stuck in traffic, daycare, elder care, the stress of downsizing and dumbsizing, people don't want it.
Well, I love your example of the boulder because as you say, those big companies are going to want to reach back into those corners, and they can't get into those corners.
They can't
get into
them.
They're going to need an ally. They're going to need a partner to help them get into those corners, and that could be you.
That's right. And here's some other tips where there's going to be good growth to look at.
15 seconds.
One is going to be real estate in both urban areas, downtown, good downtown areas, and also in the far reaches, those boondocks. They're going to continue to expand.
Mm-hmm.
And also, start looking outside the United States, particularly south of the border, beyond Mexico, Costa Rica, Belize, Dominican Republic, and keep an eye on Cuba. We're going to normalize relations there in not too long a time.
That's going to be very interesting. I agree with you. Gerald, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. As always, you've done a great job. Thank you very much for your insights and your wisdom.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, see you later.
Bye-bye.
Gerald Celente, folks, the author of Trends 2000, good friend of ours. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.